Forever Dog.
Welcome to Forever Dog. You can listen to this podcast ad-free on Forever Dog Plus by signing up at foreverdogpodcasts.com/plus. And make sure to follow us on social at Forever Dog Team and check out all of our podcasts at foreverdogpodcasts.com. Thank you for your support and enjoy the show.
Forever Dog.
Welcome to Public Domain Theater with Kelly Nugent, Lindsay Kaytai, and guest Patrick Ellers, reading The Sound of Silence by Barbara Constant.
Welcome to Public Domain Theater, the podcast of highbrow readings and lowbrow commentary. I'm one of your hosts, Lindsay Kaytai.
I'm another one of your hosts, Kelly Nugent. And if you heard the beginning of this podcast, you know who our guest is. We have with us a comedian, podcaster. You may know him from Nintendo Cartridge Society or Same Day Shipping. Patrick Ellers is here.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Thank you for being/staying here.
Yes, you keep me here.
Uh-huh.
I don't get to leave.
No,
you live in the refrigerator.
Mm-hmm, but I've got a very nice corner of that refrigerator.
Yeah.
I can see the rest of the fridge from there.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful view.
You sit on a cheese.
Mm-hmm. I'm very small, by
You're
the way.
Very small. You sit on a cheese, and then you play basketball with a grape.
That's right.
And which it is like a huge basketball for you.
Huge basketball.
Huge.
But, you know, you got to make do. You got to make do with what you got.
That's true.
We don't all live in ideal situations.
We'll put some peas in there next week.
Well, okay. Well, that'll be a solution for next week. I'm angry now.
In retrospect, you could have done this earlier.
Oh, my God. Patrick, welcome back to the show.
Yeah. This is your third episode.
I believe
with
that's
us.
Correct. Yes.
Third time's a lady. Is that something?
Yep. Once, twice,
three times a lady.
Is that really it?
Yeah, I think so.
What Patrick's saying, yes. What I'm saying is once, twice, third time's a lady.
What does that mean?
It means she's always a lady, you ding.
She's always a woman.
She
to
is
me.
Always a lady, which was not evidenced by Kelly's response. She means she's always a lady, you ding.
But
I'm a lady.
I'm a lady, you ding-a-ling. Ding-ding.
So is she a lady the first two times? I guess so. Once, yes. Twice, three
like,
times.
Oh, my God. Are you not
all
listening
the times,
to the song?
I'm trying to figure out.
All the times, Patrick. Every time
fourth
she
time?
Is, she is a lady.
Fourth time?
Yes. It just doesn't happen in the song. But
it just
if there's
follows.
A fourth time, if there's a fourth time, you better believe she's going to be a lady that fourth time, too.
I would love it if the song just kept going.
Four times, three times, four times. Then she's four, and then she's five, and then she's six,
seven, eight times a lady,
and eight, nine, and ten.
We are touring.
And
we know one song,
and
we don't know it very well.
I know
about
it
six,
very
seven,
well.
Eight. So we're reading a story.
Very good.
By Babs Constant. Barbara Constant.
Oh, our good friend Babs.
Our good friend Babs. Guess what?
No, tell me instead. I don't want to guess.
Chicken butt.
Chicken butt.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. That's a
so
good.
So what? So buttons.
So buttons on your underwear.
Oh, I never heard the finished sentence.
That's a complete idiom.
My father always used to say, sew zippers on balloons, you get a big bang.
What? Is this some like Wisconsin bullshit?
Now.
Probably.
I fucking hate so your dad
zippers
now. I know nothing
on
about
balloons,
him, but I resent him.
You'll get
him.
A big bang?
A big bang.
I mean, I guess it's true. I mean, you won't be successfully sewing the zipper, though. You put
well,
one
like,
needle in.
Go ahead
in.
And try, ga-ding.
Yeah.
Ga-ding.
Three times a lady.
Okay, so Brett cannot find any biographical information about
biological information.
Human.
Jeez,
species?
Brett, I think maybe human? You think?
Brett, come on, Brett.
You ding.
Come
Brett,
on.
Brett, you ding. Brett, you ding. I've been calling people a ding a lot lately.
I like it. I support
it's good.
It.
Come on,
yeah.
You ding.
I say ding dong. Mm. You ding dong.
Ding is short for ding-a-ling for me.
Oh, I thought it was short for ding dong.
Ding-a-ling. Ding-a-ling.
Mm.
Is ding-dong
like
short
it.
For
oh,
ding-a-ling dong?
Yeah.
Mm.
Ding-a-ling dong is short for...
Ding-a-ling dongle.
I'm going to start going whole hog and just calling people ding-a-ling a ding dong.
Ding-a-ling a ding dong, dongle, dongle, ding-a-ling a ding dong, dongle, dongle.
Ding-a-ling.
Yeah, and you just keep
three
doing
times a lady.
We just ate candy.
We just ate a single candy.
I sucked on
and
it.
And now we are flying high.
And that is, of course, one candy between
yes,
the three of us.
We each sucked on it for 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. It's
just
now
like
on
we
the
do
table.
This story.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, we each did.
We each suck
we
on
have
a story.
To, what's hard is that we have to suck on a story for, and we have to measure out what a third of the candy would be.
Now, what you guys don't know is we pass the candy while we read. So actually, like when we switch off is when a person's
the
done with,
are,
the, with
yeah.
the candy.
Yeah.
So you will notice that we are switching off at reading every 30 seconds as well.
Yes. Yeah.
This is a chaotic podcast.
That'd be terrible.
That'd be so upsetting.
30 seconds?
It'd be
like
tough.
Nothing.
Ugh. I'm getting heart palpitations just
it.
Thinking about it.
Ugh.
All right, pass me that candy.
Three times a candy.
Oh, it is. You sipped so pretty. You sipped from your cup so pretty.
Sipping pretty.
Sipping pretty. Okay, but this is what he did find. That this story, The Sound of Silence, was published in a sci-fi literary magazine called Analog Science, Fact and Fiction in June 1962. Oh, so she's an early sci-fi lady writer. She was included in an anthology called Women Resurrected, Stories from Women Science Fiction Writers of the 1950s that has the following introduction. The 50s were part of a golden era of science fiction, an era where the short story reached its pinnacle. It was also a time when women writers entered the field in unprecedented numbers. They brought a fresh perspective to a genre that had previously been dominated by testosterone-driven action. Some went on to become major figures in science fiction, while others wrote a story or two before leaving the field.
And having children.
But collectively, they had an impact and laid the groundwork for the women writers of today.
You could be damn sure that they were a lady.
Three times.
Three times
a candy.
three times a candy.
three times a candy. Ding-a-ling-a ding-dong.
Ding-dong.
Dongle-dongle-dongle-dongle.
Stars.
This is an upsetting episode of our show. This is very bad. It's like very like frenetic and I'm picturing someone trying to fall asleep to this.
Hey, don't listen to our podcast to try to fall asleep.
Yeah.
People
where
do
dare
it,
you?
Though. People really
you
like podcasts to fall
this.
Asleep.
They do. They do. It is.
People are sick.
It drives me. It sick would drive us. Me crazy.
It would drive me fucking nuts.
I can't even listen to the Headspace sleep meditations to like talk you into sleep because if
you
anything
wanna pay attention.
Is talking,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I don't fully fall asleep. My brain is still trying to take in information.
Yes.
It's similar to like if I have like something on and I'm trying to fall asleep, it has to mm-hmm. be something I've seen a billion bajillion times that
yes.
I don't care about. Because otherwise I'm like, what is it? I must know. And then I stay awake and I keep my glasses on.
Oh my God. Golden Age or
Golden
like
Age
Prime
of
Simpsons.
Sci-fi short
yeah.
stories.
Perfect for me to fall asleep to. Put on a Simpsons.
Yeah.
I can just play it in my head.
Yeah.
It's a shortcut to my memory.
Your brain goes, I know what this is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Shut down.
I have seen, so this is a Project Gutenberg.
Uh-oh.
So let me just copy and paste this into
Brett.
A thingy. We're going to be reading this off of my notes.
I got to say, this is really phoning it in, Brett.
Do-do-do.
Not breaking it into thirds for us.
You know, there's an image.
Buh?
An image, you say?
I don't know how to read an image.
Kindle, no images.
All right, here we go.
Kindle, no images.
Kindle, no images.
All right, it's in a note on my phone. You guys ready?
Yeah, yes. I say let's do it.
I guess.
Oh, you're so positive.
I'm looking forward to my 30 seconds with it.
Okay.
Series of 30 seconds.
Yeah, well, yes. But I'm just looking forward to the first 30 seconds right now.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
I'll look forward
gotcha.
To the next ones after that.
I see.
The Sound of Silence by Barbara Constant.
Sorry to interject already. I love that we've been singing so much and have not sung The Sound of Silence.
Oh, I'm not familiar. I know. It keeps, like, it was really in my head before we started singing Three Times a Lady.
But now all songs have been replaced by Three Times a Lady.
Three Times a Lady.
The Sound of Silence. That's how it goes, right?
I think so.
There's, like, a little, like, quote at the top.
Cool. I love those.
Most people, when asked to define the ultimate in loneliness, say it's being alone in a crowd, and it takes only one slight difference to make one forever alone in the crowd. Huh?
Sure.
A slight difference in what?
Most people, when asked to define the ultimate in loneliness, say it's being alone in a crowd, and it takes only one slight difference to make one forever alone in the crowd. So, okay.
Yes.
Okay. Well, oh no.
What's happening?
Oh, I'm just realizing I successfully got it to go to my phone as a Kindle with no images.
Oh, do you want to do that?
Sure.
Yeah, let's do that. Because I realized that the first letter of a lot of the paragraphs is an image and it didn't paste.
Oh.
Oh, so for this, it just has the letter.
Oh, great. There.
Okay. And you can tell exactly how far we are.
Wowie.
Because it's Kindle.
But does it have a bunch of footnotes?
I don't think so. We'll find out. Because it's worth it. It's got like 414 pages. Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, because when I was looking at it, it had like a lot of footnotes.
And that would lie to us percentage-wise.
Yes.
I understand.
Okay. There, I believe, are 274 pages.
Okay. If not...
Yeah.
Okay.
274 pages.
So like 90 pages each?
Okay, great. Nobody at Hoskins, Haskell, and Chapman Incorporated knew just why Lucilla Brown, Gigi Hoskins' secretary, came to work half an hour early every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Even Gigi himself, had he been asked, would have trouble explaining how his occasional exasperated wish that just once somebody would reach the office ahead of him could have caused his attractive young secretary to start doing so three times a week, or kept her at it all the months since the first gloomy March day. Nobody asked Gigi, however, not even Paul Chapman, the very junior partner in the advertising firm, who had displayed more than a little interest in Lucilla all fall and winter.
Ooh, Lucilla.
Lucilla, she's hot. But very little interest in anything all spring and summer. Nobody asked Lucilla why she left early on the days she arrived early. After all, 8 hours is long enough. And certainly nobody knew where Lucilla went at 4:30 on those 3 days. Nor would anybody in the office have believed it, had he known.
Oh.
8 hours is enough. Go home at the end of the day.
As we all know, 8 is enough.
Mm-hmm. 8 is enough. Lucky Brown, seeing a psychiatrist? The typist would have giggled. The office boy would have snorted. And every salesman on the force would have guffawed. Even Paul Chapman might have managed a wry smile.
I love how it keeps going. Even Paul Chapman.
So on and so forth.
As though we know Paul Chapman.
Yeah. It's like, you know him. You know why that's significant.
Classic Paul.
Right. He's a well-known character. Like Sherlock Holmes or Batman.
Sherlock Holmes, Batman, and Paul Chapman.
Paul Chapman, junior executive.
Also, I'm sure it's they call them the sales force, but the phrase every salesman on the force strikes me as very funny.
Yeah. It sounds
like cops.
Like cutthroat knives are being sold by the cops.
Like an army.
Like an army. A real laugh had been beyond him for several months, ever since he had asked Lucilla confidently, "Will you marry me?"
Oh, that is a jump.
And she answered, "I'm sorry, Paul. Thanks, but no thanks."
She could refuse even Paul Chapman?
Even Paul Chapman.
The Batman of the advertising industry?
Not that seeing a psychiatrist was anything to laugh at in itself. After all, the year was 1962. There were almost as many serious articles about mental health as there were cartoons about psychoanalysts, even in the magazines that specialized in poking fun.
Oh, those kinds of cartoons. I was like,
I know, I was
what,
like, wait.
Rocky Bullwinkle and psychiatrist?
In certain cities, including Los Angeles, and certain industries, especially advertising, I have an appointment with my psychiatrist was a perfectly acceptable excuse for leaving work early.
Yeah.
The idea of a secretary employed by almost the largest advertising firm in one of the best-known suburbs in the sprawling city of the Angels doing so should not, therefore, have seemed particularly odd.
Oh, a lot of qualifiers in that. So.
Which suburb?
I know.
That's all
which
I want to know.
Which suburb? I think she's in... Okay.
Where are you thinking they are?
Well-known suburb?
Best-known suburbs in the sprawling city of the Angels?
There are a lot of suburbs.
So are we thinking
Hollywood?
It's not the Valley?
Beverly Hills?
The Palisades?
Glendale?
Burbank? Oh,
maybe
Sun
Riverside.
Valley.
Sun Valley. Silmar.
It's always when all else fails, guess Silmar.
Okay, so she's up in Silmar working at the biggest advertising firm. Is it the biggest advertising firm in Silmar, or is it the biggest advertising firm in LA that is in Silmar, do we think?
I think it happens to be in Silmar.
Okay.
I think it's the biggest in Silmar.
Okay.
I think this is small potatoes, but they're trying to make it sound like it's big.
Okay. It wouldn't have seemed odd, not would it have, if the person involved had been anyone at all except Lucilla Brown. The idea that she might need aid of
famously sane.
Lucilla Brown.
She's the Batman of being sane.
Yeah.
The idea that she might need aid of any kind.
Because Batman is himself highly sane.
Highly sane.
So right. Well known for being sane. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what makes him such a good foil for the Joker.
Yes.
Oh, right.
I mean, yeah, this should be what it is.
The idea that she might need aid of any kind, particularly psychiatric, was ridiculous. She had been born 22 years earlier in the undisputed possession of a sizable silver spoon. And she was, in addition, bright, beautiful, and charming, with 20/20 vision, perfect teeth, a father and a mother who adored her.
A father and a mother?
Who adored her? Friends who did likewise, and the kind of luck you'd have to see to believe.
She sounds like a real Madison Ellis, am I right?
Ooh, oh,
that's
yeah.
Right.
Tink creeps.
She was the kind of... Oh, I'm sorry. Other people entered contests. Lucilla won them. Other people drove nice. 5 miles over the legal limit and got caught doing it. Lucilla outdistanced them, but fortuitously slowed down just before the highway patrol appeared from nowhere. Other people waited in the wrong line at the bank while the woman ahead of them learned how to roll pennies. Lucilla was always in the line that moved right up to the teller's window.
Lucilla, you gotta do your banking online.
Yeah.
Get an app and scan those checks. You don't have to go to the bank.
No.
Well, I feel like if anyone would use that app, it would be Lucilla.
It would be Lucilla. She'd invent that app and she'd be rich.
Mm-hmm. Everyone knows that anyone who can choose the correct line at a bank does not need psychiatric care.
Exactly.
She doesn't need help getting to the front of the line.
No, if she doesn't need that, she doesn't need anything.
Mm-hmm. Lucky was not, in other words, just a happenstance abbreviation of Lucilla. It was an exceedingly apt nickname, and Lucky Brown's coworkers would have been quite justified in laughing at the very idea of her being unhappy enough about anything to spend 3 precious hours a week stretched out on a brown leather couch, staring miserably at a pale blue ceiling and fumbling for words that refused to come. There were a good many days when Lucilla felt like laughing at the idea herself. And there were other days when she didn't even feel like smiling. Wednesday, the 25th of July, was one of the days where she didn't feel like smiling or talking or moving. Honey, this is depression.
Oh, yeah.
It had started out badly when she opened her eyes and found herself staring at a familiar blue ceiling. I don't know, she said irritably. I tell you, I simply don't know what happens. I'll start to answer someone and the words will be right on the tip of my tongue, ready to be spoken. Then I'll say something altogether different. Or I'll start to cross the street and, for no reason at all, be unable to even step off the curb.
This is a very good description of depression.
It yeah. is.
Doesn't matter how lucky or blessed you are.
Yeah.
It just happens and you can't explain it.
For no reason at all, Dr. Andrews asked. Are you sure?
He's a good doctor.
Why are
you aren't
telling?
Withholding something. You ought to tell me.
Don't do that.
She shifted a little, suddenly uncomfortable. And then she was fully awake and the ceiling was ivory, not blue. She stared at it for a long moment, completely disoriented, before she realized she was in her own bed.
Oh, what?
Not on Dr. Andrews' brown leather couch.
Whoa.
What a creep, I assume.
No.
No, I think she literally doesn't know where she is.
And that the conversation had been another of the interminable imaginary dialogue she found herself carrying on with the psychiatrist, day and night, awake and sleep. Get out of my dreams, she ordered crossly.
And into my car.
What song
That's
is
another
that?
Song. Get out of my dreams.
Do, 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 do. And into my car.
Three times a lady.
Yeah. Oh, it's three times a lady. That's right. What song that is.
Hey guys, we wanted to take a quick break from the show to talk to you about one of our sponsors, Zola. Zola is the wedding company that'll do anything for love, is reinventing the wedding planning and registry experience to make the happiest moment in couples' lives even happier. From engagement to wedding to decorating your first home, Zola is there, combining compassionate customer service with modern tools and technology, all in the service of love. Guys, planning a wedding is stressful. I have been there. I am there right now. It's not... it's fun, but it's also full of like a million things that you have to do. And the to-do list is really hard to keep together if you're doing it by yourself. Zola is the easiest way to plan your wedding and register. There are over 5,000 couples who've used Zola. Join them. Zola takes the stress out of wedding planning with free wedding websites, your dream wedding registry, affordable save-the-dates and invitations, and easy-to-use planning tools. I love that all of this stuff is online and in one place. It's really hard to keep track of all this stuff, believe me. And I am an organization queen. And yet, with this planning for the wedding, it's been very, like, how do I keep all this stuff together? Well, Zola has got you. You start with a free wedding website. It's very easy. It just takes minutes to set up. There are over 100 beautiful wedding website designs to choose from that fit any couple's style and every type of wedding. Literally, if you are like fancy princess wedding, or if you are like crazed witch in the woods wedding, honestly, any of those things from either spectrum, you can guess which side I am, they have a style for you. You can put your Zola registry on your wedding website so guests can get all the details they need about the gifts that you're gonna get, and they can buy your wedding gift in one convenient and beautiful place. Then you can build your dream registry at Zola. They have the widest selection of gifts at all different price points. There's something for every guest to give. Guests love the free shipping and returns, price matching, and more. And there's over 500 top brands from OXO and Cuisinart to Sonos and Airbnb. You can also create funds for your honeymoon, future home, new puppy, anything you want. Plus, register for gift cards to your favorite brands like Delta, Southwest, Hulu, Home Depot, more. And there's the best completion discount, 20% off remaining gifts on your registry starting right after your big day. So let's get you guys on this Zola train. To start your free wedding website and also get $50 off your registry on Zola, go to zola.com/public. That's zola.com/public. Again, to start your free wedding website and also get $50 off your registry on Zola, go to zola.com/public. And now, back to the show. Summoning up a quick mental picture of Dr. Andrews' expressive face, level gray eyes, and silvering temples, the better to banish him from her thoughts, she was immediately sorry she had done so, for the image remained fixed in her mind. She could almost feel his eyes. She heard his voice ask again, "For no reason at all, Lucilla." The weatherman had promised a scorcher, and the heat had already lay like a blanket over the room.
The weatherman promised a scorcher!
for no reason! Made it seem probable that the promise would be fulfilled. She moved listlessly, showering, patting herself dry, lingering over the choice of a dress, until her mother called urgently from the kitchen. She was long minutes behind schedule when she left the house. Usually, she rather enjoyed easing her small car into the stream of automobiles pouring down Sepulveda towards the San Diego freeway.
If there's anything I love, it's merging onto a freeway.
I love it.
It's just so calming.
It's just so decadent.
I mean, particularly the 405. I mean,
I could choose a freeway to merge into and a spot to merge.
Sepulveda?
Definitely Sepulveda.
Oh, yes. Onto the 405.
Onto the 405.
Oh.
Yeah. Just
let me live there.
The 405 was included as part of like my driver's ed training program. This is in Wisconsin. That was like a simulated
what?
Like merging onto the 405. Though it was having to get off. Like it was we were in these like fake car things, and there was a projection screen. Yeah,
that's fucking insane.
I'm sorry, what year did you do this in? 2995?
Yeah, I did it 70 years in the future.
My God, we're in a Barbara, whatever her name is, story, Constant.
But you had to like...
Babs Constant.
You had to check your blind spot, check the mirror, one lane over. Check the blind spot, check the mirror, one lane over. And it was like one of those like warning things, you know, where it's like, this is the most extreme driving experience you're ever going to have, merging off the 405.
Well, I mean, who knew you'd be living the most extreme driving experience?
I mean, I think it prepared me pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you feel like
it
you're a good
driver? It
gave
you the
driver?
Actual freeway.
I'm a very good driver.
I'm never getting in a car with you now. I don't believe you
wise.
At all.
I agree.
Wait, what is the street? Now
Sepulveda,
we can figure out where she is.
On to the San Diego freeway. So, I mean, if she's on
that
Sepulveda.
Sounds like the valley.
No.
No,
I think she's like, south. Like, I think
Culver.
She's
sorry,
Culver.
No,
or Palms, maybe.
Ooh.
That's not a very famous suburb.
True. Culver City's more famous.
Culver City's probably
And she's probably in Culver City.
Right. She's like across the street from Sony.
That's also not known.
What do you guys think it is?
She's driving there, though.
Yeah.
She's driving there.
Yeah.
I vote Beverly.
So she's in Baldwin Hills. Shifting expertly from one lane to another to take advantage of every break in the traffic. This morning, she felt only angry impatience. She choked back on the irritated impulse to drive directly into the side of a car that cut across in front of her, held her horn button down furiously when a slow-starting truck hesitated fractionally after the light turned green.
Horn button. Girl.
Beep, 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 beep. Horn button.
She drives like a tiny little car. It's like made out of a carved-out cantaloupe.
Yeah. Well, that's my car, and oh, it shouldn't really leave the refrigerator.
I'm really sorry that I brought that up.
Oh, that's why you're a bad driver.
What an adorable life you lead. You sit on a piece of cheese for like 3 hours a day.
Right. I play basketball. It's hard because the grape is so big to me.
So heavy.
Yeah, you're drenched in sweat and very cold because of the fridge.
Right.
For your jacket, you wear a piece of Swiss cheese.
Yeah, so there's a lot of cheese.
Cold. That doesn't mold very well to your form, though. No. Patrick, you should start wearing Havarti.
Yeah, you look like a Christmas tree.
Well, again, if you provide me with peas and Havarti, then my life will improve. But until that time,
we'll see if we have time.
Yeah. I'm miserable in there with my tiny car.
I don't know if I can hit up the grocery store tonight.
Beep, yeah. Beep, beep,
Albies.
Beep, beep button. Albies. When she finally edged her Renault up on the on-ramp and the freeway stretched straight and unobstructed ahead, she stepped
unobstructed. I'm sorry. I'm obsessed with this freeway experience.
Yeah, I'm sorry. She's on the 405. There's no traffic.
I don't think so. Is this 5 a.m.? Okay.
She stepped down on the accelerator and watched the needle climb up and past the legal 65-mile limit. The sound of her tires in the smooth
lucky
concrete
bitch
was soothing, and the rush of wind outside gave the morning an illusion of coolness. She edged away from the tangle of cars that had pulled onto the freeway with her and momentarily was alone on the road, with her rearview mirror blank, the oncoming lanes bare, and a small rise shutting off the world ahead. That was when it happened. Get out of the way! A voice shrieked. Out of the way! Out of the way! Out of the way! Her heart lurched. Her stomach twisted convulsively, and there was a brassy taste in her mouth. Instinctively, she stamped down on the brake pedal, swerved sharply into the outer lane. By the time she'd topped the rise, she was going a cautious 50 miles an hour and hugging the far edge of the freeway. Then and only then, she heard the squeal of agonized tires and saw the cumbersome semi-trailer coming from the opposite direction rock dangerously, jackknife into the dividing posts that separated north and southbound traffic, crunch ponderously through them, and crashed to a stop several hundred feet ahead of her and squarely athwart the lane down which she had been speeding only seconds earlier.
So she had a psychic vision of the future?
She had a low-dunk psychic vision.
Whoa.
The highway patrol materialized within minutes. Even so, it was only after 8 by the time Lucilla gave them her statement, agreed for the upteenth time with the shaken but uninjured truck driver that it was indeed fortunate that she hadn't been in the center lane, and drove slowly the remaining miles to the office. The gray mood of the early morning had changed to black. Now there were two voices in her mind, competing for attention.
I knew it was gonna happen, the truck driver said. I couldn't see over the top of that hill. All I could do was fight the wheel and pray that if anybody was coming, he'd get out of the way.
She could almost hear him repeating the words, get out of the way! Out of the way! And right on the heel of his cry came Dr. Andrews' soft query, for no reason at all, Lucilla. She pulled into the company parking lot, jerked the wheel savagely to the left, jammed on the brakes. Shut up, she said. Shut up, both of you. She started into the building, then hesitated. She was already late, but there was something. Get out of the way, for no reason at all. At all? She yielded to impulse and walked hurriedly downstairs to the basement library.
The basement library?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's where one of the libraries is?
Yeah. The basement.
Not the third floor library. The basement library.
They keep the third floor the third floor library on the first floor.
Yes.
Yes.
The basement library at the top.
Right.
Yeah.
And the attic library is offsite.
Yeah.
Right. You have to take a shuttle.
That's right.
The stuff I asked you to get together for me by tomorrow, Ruthie, she said to the gray-haired librarian. You wouldn't by any chance have it already done, would you? Funny you should ask.
Ruthie.
The elderly woman bobbed down behind the counter and popped back up with an armload of magazines and newspapers. Just happened to have some free time last thing yesterday. It's already charged out to you, so you just go right ahead and take it, dearie. It was 8:30 when Lucilla reached the office.
when I need you, where are you? Gigi asked sourly. Learned last night that the top dog at Carry Carton Corporation. Ooh, all K is not great.
Corporation is
yes,
with a K?
Yes, it is.
No.
Yes.
That's on purpose.
Yes.
Why? What? Very significant?
No, familiar. Is in town today, so they pushed that conference up from Friday to 10 this morning. If you'd been here early or even on time, we might at least have gotten some of the information together. Lucilla laid the stack of material on his desk. I haven't had time to flag the pages yet, she said. But they're listed on the library request on top. We did 19 ads for KKK last year and 3 of premium offers. I stopped by sales on the way in.
Maybe drop them as a client. Yeah. It's just a suggestion.
You don't need every client.
You don't need every client. You can say no to some.
It's hard to church up KKK. It's hard. I don't know how I would do it.
Yeah, I don't, how do you sell that?
I stopped by sales on my way in. Susie's digging out figures for you now. Hmm, said Gigi. Well, so that's where you've been. You could have at least let me know. There was grudging approval beneath his gruffness. Say, how'd you know I needed this today anyhow? Didn't, said Lucilla, putting her purse away and whisking the cover off her typewriter. Happenstance, that's all. Just happened to go down to the library, for no reason at all, withholding something.
Get out of the way. I don't know who that was.
I am very curious to find out what the fuck is going on.
Me too. I am in
good work, Barbara.
Yeah, Babs. She's just plugged into everyone's brain.
Yeah, this is very cool. Interesting.
Yeah,
I mean, it might end up being really dumb, but it seems cool. So far, I'm excited.
Right.
The telephone's demand for attention overrode her thoughts. She reached for it almost gratefully. Mr. Hoskins' office, she said. Yes. Yes, he knows about the 10 o'clock meeting this morning. Thanks for calling anyway.
Thanks anyway. Yeah. What
best
a passive
to you and
aggressive.
Yours.
Yep.
I'm going to start doing that. Every phone call, I'm going to end with, well, thanks for calling anyway.
Yeah, I didn't need to be reminded of that, but that was so sweet of you. Thanks for calling anyway.
She hung up and glanced at Gigi, but he was so immersed in one of the magazines that the ringing telephone hadn't even disturbed him. Ringing? The last thing she did before she left the office each night was set the lever in the instrument's base to off so that the bell wouldn't disturb Gigi if he worked late. So far today, nobody had set it back to on. It's getting worse, she said miserably to the pale blue ceiling. The phone didn't ring this morning. It couldn't have, but I answered it. Dr. Andrews said nothing at all.
She's like fully psychic. Yeah. I see.
Or she's in the Matrix. I think she might be in the Matrix.
Probably that. Mm-hmm.
She let her eyes flicker sidewise, but he was outside her range of vision. I don't like having you sit where I can't see you, she said crossly. Freud may have thought it was a good idea, but I think it was a lousy one.
What?
I didn't know Freud thought that.
He pioneered feng shui.
So she's imagining that she's in a session right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I think. She might be or she might not be. She clenched her hands and stared at nothing. The silence stretched thinner and thinner like a balloon blown big until the temptation to rupture it was too great to resist.
You put a zipper on it.
No, don't do this. Don't do this.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, if you put a zipper on, you got to find some way to affix it.
Right.
I don't know. You sew it on.
Sure. Okay. Sure.
You're going to get a big bang.
I hate you. I didn't see the truck this morning, nor hear it. There was no reason at all for me to slow down and pull over. You might be dead if you hadn't. Would you like that better? The matter-of-fact question was like a hand laid across Lucilla's mouth.
This is really interesting. It jumped to 96.
Hmm. Does it seem like their story?
No, it's just the location things are weird. So hopefully this lined up okay.
Should we go back to your notes?
Well, let's just double check to see where this is. There's no reason at all for me to slow down and pull over.
Brett, maybe could in the future do his fucking job.
Whoa.
And break the story up for us. Just a thought. Brett,
you need to break the story up
because we're too stupid.
Break it up, Brett.
Because
what are you on a computer?
It's too hard to do it on our phones.
Mm-hmm.
And we're wasting precious, beautiful podcasting.
Okay, we're totally fine.
I have
okay.
to go to the Magic Castle for a seance.
Really?
Yes.
That's fun.
The matter-of-fact question was like a hand laid across Lucilla's mouth. I don't want to be dead, she admitted finally. Neither do I want to go on like this, hearing words that aren't spoken and bells that don't ring.
When it gets to the point that I pick up a phone just because somebody's thinking, she stopped abruptly.
I didn't quite catch the end of that sentence, Dr. Andrews said.
I didn't quite finish it. I can't.
Can't? Or won't? Don't hold anything back, Lucilla. You were saying that you picked up the phone just because somebody was thinking.
He paused expectantly. Lucilla reread the ornate letters on the framed diploma on the wall, looked critically at the picture of Mrs. Andrews, whom she'd met, and her impish daughter, whom she hadn't, counted the number of pleats in the billowing drapes, ran a tentative finger over the face of her wristwatch, straightened a fold of her skirt, and could stand the silence no longer. All right, she said wearily. The girl at Carrie Carton thought about talking to me, and I heard my phone ring, even though the bell was disconnected. Gigi thought about needing backup material for the conference, and I went to the library. The truck driver thought about warning people, and I got out of his way. So I can read people's minds.
Oh, slightly different.
Some people's minds. Some of the time, anyway. Only there's no such thing as telepathy, and if I'm not telepathic, then...
She caught herself in the brink of time and bit back the final word, fighting for self-control. Then what? The peremptory question toppled Lucilla's defenses. I'm crazy, she said. No. Speaking the word released all the others dammed up behind it. Ever since I can remember, things like this have happened all at once in the middle of doing something or saying something. I find myself thinking about what somebody else was doing or saying. Not thinking, knowing. I'd be playing hide and seek and I could see the places where the other kids were hiding just as plainly as I could see my own surroundings. Or I'd be worrying over the answers to an exam question. And I'd know what somebody in the back of the room had decided to write down or what the teacher was expecting us to write. Not always, but it happened often enough so that it bothered me, just the way it does now when I answer a question before it's been asked or know what the driver ahead of me is going to do a split second before he does it or win a bridge game because I can see everybody else's hand so through his own eyes.
She's always been psychic.
That's why she's lucky.
I like that this is, like, for her evidence that, this proves that I'm crazy.
Yeah, I was going to say,
Yeah.
She says, I'm crazy, and then is like, here are all the things that prove I'm not crazy.
Right. Here's my life as Jean Grey.
Yeah.
And sometimes the Phoenix Force just takes me over. I got to destroy a planet.
A real problem.
Hey guys, wanted to take a quick break from the show to talk to you about one of our sponsors, Everlane. Would you buy a t-shirt for $50 if you knew it only cost $7 to make? No, and neither would we. But guess what? With Everlane, you never overpay for quality clothes. Everlane only makes premium essentials using the finest materials without traditional markups. And they tell you their real costs, so you know you're never overpaying. Because guess what? Everlane cares about you. They want you to know what you're paying for and why. They're radically transparent about every step in their process, from the materials they use to the ethical factories they work with. And because Everlane sells directly to you, their prices are 30 to 50% lower than traditional retailers. Everlane's clothes look better, cost less, and last longer, and that's true. Their clothes feel good, they look good, they feel like they're high quality and that they're going to last you a long time. Essentials like their Cotton Crew t-shirt are exactly what they should be. Simple, stylish, and made from quality materials. What are some of my favorite things from there? I have a million favorite things from there. But if I have to pick three, I would say the square toe Chelsea boot in cedar. Guys, people, strangers, compliment me on these boots. They're really comfortable and they look amazing. The authentic stretch high-rise skinny ankle jean in washed black fits amazing, looks amazing, and goes with everything. And the cashmere shrunken sweatshirt in dark gray Donegal looks amazing, can be a little fancy, can be a little casual, and feels super soft and is really warm. I love, love, love Everlane stuff. Their timeless essentials are just what you're looking for. No frills, just quality. And right now, you can check out our personalized collection at everlane.com/public. Plus, you'll get free shipping on your first order. That's everlane.com/public. Everlane.com/public. And now, back to the show.
Has it always bothered you, Lucilla?
No.
She drew the word out.
And lied her ass off.
No.
No. I mean, any little girl. Trying to think when it was that she hadn't felt uneasy about the unexpected moments of perceptiveness. When she was very little, perhaps, she thought of the tiny laughing girl and the folded snaps of the old album. And suddenly, inexplicably, she was that self, moving through remembered rooms, pausing to collect a word from a boyish father, a thought from a pretty young mother. Reluctantly, she closed her eyes against that distant time. Way back, she said, when I didn't know any better, I just took it for granted that sometimes people talk to each other and that sometimes they passed thoughts along without putting them into words. I was about 6, I guess, when I found out it wasn't so. She slipped into her 6-year-old self as easily as she had donned the younger Lucilla. This time she wasn't in a house, but high on a hillside, walking on springy pine needles instead of prosaic carpet. Talk, Dr. Andrews reminded her, his voice so soft that it could almost have come from inside her own mind.
Talk.
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 Powder.
Talcum powder.
We were picnicking, she said, a whole lot of us. Somehow I wandered away from the others. One minute the hill was bright with sun, and the next it was deep in shadows, and the wind that had been merely cool was downright cold. She shivered and glanced around, expecting her mother to be somewhere near, holding out a sweater or jacket. There was no one at all in sight. Even then, she never thought of being frightened. She turned to retrace her steps. There was a big tree that looked familiar, and a funny rock... Sorry, I jumped up. And a funny rock behind it, half buried in the hillside. She was trudging for it, humming under her breath, when the worry thoughts began to reach her.
The worry thoughts.
Worry, 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 worry.
We are the worry thoughts.
We are the worry thoughts. Mama worry, papa worry, baby worry.
Wah, wah,
baby worry. Hungry. Feed the baby.
Feed the baby your worries.
Your worries.
Or worry baby will starve.
Hungry, the stomach won't be full.
Worry baby feeds the worry tit of worry mama.
The worry mama's tit is getting longer.
Stretched worry.
Hi, welcome to Public Domain Theater.
I have chosen to just watch this.
Also, the whole time I've been writing the word crazy on a piece of paper.
I'm like, here I am reading a story and Kelly is fucking doodling on a page right now.
Doodling helps me listen.
Look at your phone.
Oh, I didn't have to do...
It just needed to see your face.
It just needed to see your face. It missed you.
It missed me.
For those of you who couldn't guess, Kelly's phone locked and she had to unlock it with her face. Oops, jumped way the fuck up.
Do you want us to do that bit again?
Yes. Please. Please start doing the weird bit about the
worry
hungry
family.
Baby.
The worry papa.
The worry baby.
Baby
eating all of your nightmares.
Worry baby.
Worry baby's hungry.
Worry baby needs your crumbs.
Crumbs and spill
from your mouth.
Share your worries with
Share
worry baby.
Your worries. You're being selfish.
Don't be a selfish brat.
You will Give share with worry baby.
My pretty. Okay, worry thoughts begin to reach her. Only a little creek, so I don't think she could have fallen in. Not really any bears around here, but she never gets hurt. Creek. Bear. Twisted ankle. Dark. Cold. She had veered from her course and started in the direction of the first thought, but now they were coming at all sides, and she had no idea at all which way to go. She ran wildly then, first one way, then the other, sobbing and calling. Lucilla! The voice sliced into the night, and the dark mountainside and the frightened child were gone. She shuddered a little, reminiscently. She shuddered a little in a remembering way.
Remembering.
Yeah, it's all a memory.
And the memory baby.
Memory baby. The memory sweet memory
where the memory family.
Memory papa. Memory mama. Memory baby.
And memory dog. Woof.
Woof. Woof.
We're Woof the dog. Woof the memory dog.
Woof.
Woof. She put her hands over her eyes. Somebody found me, of course, and then Mother was holding me and crying, and I was crying too, and telling how all the different thoughts at once frightened me and mixed me up. She scolded me for telling fibs and said that nobody except really crazy people thought they could read each other's minds.
Wow, that sucks.
I see, said Dr. Andrews. So you... And this is me doing my best, Kelly doing
No, you're
her
doing
best
a great
English.
Job.
No, I'm really going to lean into it.
Okay, great.
So you tried not to, of course.
Oh,
and
really
any time you did it again, or thought you did, you blamed it on coincidence or luck. And had that nightmare again. Yes, that too. Tell me about it.
Oh.
I already have, over and over. Tell me again, then.
I just love this nightmare. It's my favorite one.
Please tell it again.
Okay, just once more before bed, Dr. Andrew. I feel like a fool repeating myself, she complained. Dr. Andrews made no comment. Oh, all right. It always starts with me walking down a crowded street, surrounded by honking cars and yelling newsboys and talking people.
And like it's a street, but it's like not really a street.
Not my street.
You know what I mean? Like, but like I know that it's like, my street, but yes. Like the lampposts are different.
But like, and I feel like I'm my younger self, but I'm like not.
And like I know like, my knee should hurt, but it doesn't.
And then like I'm walking down the street and it just keeps getting like longer and more stretched out and I can't reach my destination.
Right. And Mel Gibson is there, but like we're not mad at him.
That's my dream.
My dream.
Or that's my nightmare.
Yeah.
That's my favorite nightmare.
The noise bothers me and I'm tempted to cover my ears to shut it out, but I try to ignore it instead and walk faster and faster. Bit by bit, the buildings I pass are smaller, the people fewer, the noise less. All at once, I discover there's nothing around at all but a spreading carpet of gray-green moss, years deep, and a silence that feels as old as time itself. There's nothing to frighten me, but I am frightened and lonesome, not so much for people, but for a sound, any sound. I turn to run back toward town, but there's nothing behind me now but the same gray moss and gray sky and dead silence. By the time she reached the last word, her throat had tightened until speaking was difficult. She reached out blindly for something to cling to. Her groping hand met Dr. Andrews, and his warm fingers closed reassuringly around hers. Ooh, sexy.
Oh, I don't need the fingers holding each other's fingers.
Gradually, the panic drained
away. Wait, what do you
mean
you don't need fingers holding each other's fingers? Interlocking fingers?
If I grabbed a hand and there were no fingers, I'd be a little surprised.
Just surprised.
Just surprised.
Like, you'd get over it.
Yeah, because, like, you know, accidents happen.
Yeah.
And you
I'm not going to.
Right.
Yeah. But I'd be surprised. I expected fingers,
yeah.
But I'm not going to be like.
Yo, where are your fingers?
Yeah, where's your fingers go? Like, you respect people's differences.
Of course.
That's all I'm saying.
But you would be surprised.
But I would be surprised initially. There would be an instance of surprise because you assume fingers, usually.
Assumed fingers.
You assume the finger position.
Where the fingers assumed. That's my contribution to that.
Well, back to my doodles.
It helps me to listen.
Okay.
It's true.
Gradually, the panic drained away, but she could think of nothing to say at all, although she longed to have the silence broken. As if he sensed her longing, Dr. Andrew said, "You started having the dream more often just after you told
Paul." That was a great mid-sentence correction.
I was like, who's this? Is that right? No, it was the other way around. I hadn't had it for months, not since I fell in love with him. Then he got assigned to that Witch Tomorrow show, and he started calling me Lucky, the way everybody does, and the dream came back. She stopped short and turned on the couch to stare at the psychiatrist with startled eyes. But that can't be how it was, she said. The lonesomeness must have started after I decided not to marry him, not before. Mm-hmm. I wonder why the dream stopped when you fell in love with him.
What?
Everything's normal. What are you guys cackling about?
I was just thinking about the worry family again.
Are you cackling about the fact that I use my eyebrows to do an accent? That's easy, Lucilla said promptly, grasping at the chance to evade her own more disturbing question. I felt close to him, whether he was with me or not, the way I used to feel close to people back when I was a little girl before that day in the mountains when Mother said, "That was when you started having the dream, wasn't it?"
That was when you started having the dream, wasn't it?
Tripping me off the tongue.
Would that it were so simple.
Would the rain in Spain.
Would that it were so simple.
Sample.
Would that it were
so simple.
Would that it were. No, would trippingly off the tongue, darling.
Let's put some more marbles in there.
How do you know? I didn't. Not until just now, but yes, that's when it started. I'd never minded the dark or being alone, but I was frightened when Mother shut the door that night because the walls seemed so solid now that I knew of the thoughts I used to think were with me were just pretend. When I finally went to sleep, I dreamed and I went on having the same dream night after night after night until finally they called a doctor and he gave me something to make me sleep. I wish they'd called me, Dr. Andrew said.
Okay.
I would have come.
Oh. And so would you.
Together.
Together we would have. Come together.
What could you have done? The sleeping pills
worked. Just a little with my hands and a little with my mouth.
Oh, okay. Paul never did that.
I assume fingers.
But I won't be surprised if they're... After a while, what would you have done? The sleeping pills worked anyway, and after a while, I didn't need them anymore because I'd heard other kids talking about having hunches and lucky streaks, and I stopped feeling different from the rest of them. Except once in a while, when I was so lucky, it bothered me. And after you met Paul, you stopped being too lucky, and the dream stopped? No. Lucilla was startled at her own vehemence. No, it wasn't like that at all, and you'd know it if you'd been listening. Whoa. Paul, I felt close to him all the time, no matter how many miles or walls or anything there was between us. We hardly had to talk at all because we seemed to just know what the other was thinking all the time. Listening to music or watching the waves pound in or just working together at the office. Instead of feeling odd when I knew what he was thinking or what he was going to say, I felt good about it because I was so sure it was the same way with him and what I was thinking. We didn't talk about it. There wasn't any need to.
So they were psychic with each other, or she just felt connected to him?
She just felt super connected to him, I think.
So connected.
Is that okay? She lapsed into silence again. Dr. Andrews straightened... Dr. Andrews straightened her clenched hand out stroked the fingers gently.
Ew. Are they still holding hands at this point?
Oh, God. So he's been, like, clenching on her hand.
Don't clench my hand.
And then he's like, I could have come.
Now I'm going to stroke each of these fingers.
What?
No, that was just... I was just contributing.
What?
No.
After a moment, she went on. He hadn't asked me to marry him, but I knew he would. And there wasn't any hurry, because everything was so perfect anyway. And then one of the company's clients decided to sponsor a series of fantasy shows on TV and wanted us to tie in the ads to next year into the next year with the fantasy theme. Paul was assigned to the account, and Gigi let him borrow me to work on it because it was such a rush project. I'd always liked fairy stories when I was little, and when I discovered that there were grown-up ones too, like these unknown worlds and these weird tales, I read them too. But I hadn't any idea how much there was until I started buying copies of everything there was on the newsstands.
She didn't hear of science fiction until she was a fully grown adult.
Right, until she was a character in a science fiction story.
And then I found out there were grown-up ones. Grown-up ones? Yes. I think they're called sci-fi.
And then I started reading slash fic. And then ransacking musty little stores for back issues, and then ones had gone out of publication, until Paul's office was full of teetery piles of gaudy magazines, and everywhere you looked, there were pictures of strange stars and eight-legged monsters and men in spacesuits.
Oh, so she's like, I don't like this pulp shit.
No, she does.
Oh, she does like it.
Yeah, she's into it.
She's super into it. She's buying as much of it as possible.
So what do the magazines have to do with you and Paul? Am I doing the accent right?
That's so good. Aged considerably.
So good.
I'm mixing a little bit of Ruth in there.
Yeah. Well, he started out as British, and then he became mid-Atlantic. All right, and now he's old.
Right, nailing it. What do the magazines have to do with you and Paul?
Right.
The way he felt about them changed everything. He just laughed at the ones about spaceships and other planets and robots and things.
Oh, yeah, girl, leave him.
And he didn't laugh when it came to stories about, well, mutants and people with talents. Talents? Like reading minds,
oh,
you mean?
Shit.
She nodded, not looking at him. He didn't laugh at those. He acted as if they were, well, indecent. The sort of thing you wouldn't be caught dead reading in public. And he thought that way, too, especially about the stories that mentioned telepathy. So specific.
Very specific.
He's like, ha, 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 ha. And then she's like, telepathy. And he's like,
no!
He's like, get that out of my house!
Indecent. Put some clothes on, telepathy.
Obscenity.
At first, when he brought them to my attention in a disapproving way, I thought he was just pretending to sneer, to tease me because he knew they could be true. Only his thoughts matched his remarks. Huh?
It's like, except his thoughts match.
Only his thoughts match his remarks. I got it. He hated the stories, Dr. Andrews, and he was just determined to have me hate them too. All at once, I began to feel as if I didn't know him at all, and I began to wonder if I just imagined everything all these months. I felt so close to him.
Poor Lucilla.
Poor girl.
Then I began to dream again and to think about that lonesome, silent world even when I was wide awake. Go on, Lucilla, Dr. Andrews said.
Well, before I die.
My arm is turning to sand.
Please, my hollowed out eyes.
His eyes are hollowed out.
They're sinking back into my brain.
A little bird lives in my skull. That's all, just about.
Shut up, bird.
We finished the job and got rid of the magazines, and for a while, it was almost as if the 2 weeks had never been. Except I couldn't forget that he didn't know what I was thinking at all. Even when everything he did, almost, made it seem as if he did. It began to seem wrong for me to know what he was thinking. Crazy, like Mother had said. Or worse somehow. Not even nice, if you know what I mean. Then he asks you to marry him?
Oh my God.
Just older and older.
He's going to die in a second.
And I said no, even when I wanted, so terribly to say yes, and yes, and yes. She squeezed her eyes tight, or her eyes tight shut to hold back a rush of tears. Am I missing a email? Is it? Oh, time folded back. Got it.
Yeah, just guess.
That's what I'm going to do.
Time folded back on itself. Once again, the hand of her wristwatch pointed to 4:30, and the white-clad receptionist said briskly, "The doctor will see you now."
Oh, my God.
Once again, from some remote vantage point, Lucilla watched herself brush past Dr. Andrews and cross the familiar couch, heard herself say, "It's getting worse," then watched herself move through a flickering montage of scenes from childhood to womanhood, from past to present. She opened her eyes to meet those of the man who sat patiently beside her. "You see," he said, "telling me wasn't so difficult after all." And then, before she had decided on a response, what do you know about Darwin's theory of evolution?
Evolution.
Evolution.
Have you heard
Darwin's
of
Darwin's theory de evolution?
Evolution.
Oh, now he's Spanish.
Next time, yes. His habit of ending a tense moment by making an irreverent query no longer even startled her. Obediently, she fumbled for an answer. Not much, just that he thought all kinds of different life on Earth today evolved from a few blobs of protoplasm that sprouted wings or grew fur, developed teeth, depending on where they went and when.
Not much, only that we once began.
A fish crawled out of the ocean.
The ocean.
You may know it as Lamar.
Lamar? I think it's Elmar, just to be.
Oh, that's
kind of
probably
a poo-poo
right.
Head.
Well, way to poop on my head.
Sorry.
She paused, hopefully, but met only with silence.
The mar is azul.
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 A-Z-U-L.
Sometimes what seemed like a step forward wasn't, she said, ransacking her brain for scattered bits of information. Then the species died out, like the saber-toothed tiger.
Is this her still talking about evolution?
Yeah.
You bet it is.
That she only knows a little bit about?
I don't know much. Here's the memorized book I have in my head.
She like brings down projection roller and like gets out like a pointer stick.
Mm-hmm. Like, if you'll notice here, the saber tooth.
Then the species died out, like the saber tooth tiger, with those tusks that kept right on growing, right? What? Growing until they locked its jaw shut. So it starved to death. Is that true?
I don't think so.
That doesn't feel true to me.
As she spoke, she remembered the huge beast as he had been pictured in one of her college textbooks. The recollection grew more and more vivid until she could see both the picture and the facing page of text. There was an irregularly shaped ink blot in the upper corner and several heavily underlined sentences that stood out so distinctly that she could actually read the words. According to Darwin, variations in general are not infinitesimal, but in the nature of specific mutations. Thousands of these occur, but only the fittest survive. The climate, the times, natural enemies, and their own kind, who strive to perpetuate themselves unchanged. Taken.
She literally did start quoting the book that lived in her mind. Am I psychic / telepathic?
Oh my gosh, I think you might be. Taken one by one, the words were all familiar. Taken as a whole, they made no sense at all.
That's not
she
true.
Let the book slip. She let the book slip unheeded from her mind and stared at Dr. Andrews in bewilderment.
So she can read minds and project herself into different times in her life?
Yeah, I think she can like relive.
Fascinating.
Stuff. Yeah.
Wow.
Try saying it in a different way.
Three times fast.
Three times
I'm
a lady.
I am so upset that I didn't join in on that.
You sound like a school teacher humoring a stupid child. And then, because of the habit of obedience was strong, I guess he meant that tails didn't grow. I guess he meant that tails didn't grow an inch at a time, the way a dog's got cut off, but all at once. Like a fish born with...
I like how she took growing and then made an analogy with it that involves chopping.
Like a fish being born with legs as well as fins, or a baby saber tooth showing up among tigers with regular teeth, or an ape in a tribe discovering he could swing down out amongst the treetops and stand erect walk alone.
You have to be smart enough to know that he's implying that this is an evolutionary trait of yours. You have to be smart enough.
She has to.
He echoed.
Lucilla, get it together.
Yeah. Understand this, girl.
You ding.
He echoed her last words. Ding. And walk alone. A premonitory chill traced its icy way down Lucilla's backbone. For a second, she stood on a gray moss under a gray sky midst of a gray silence.
Oh.
He not only could walk alone, he had to. Do you remember what your book said? Only the fittest survive, Lucilla said numbly, because they have to fight the climate and their natural enemies and their own kind. She swung her feet to the floor and pushed herself into a sitting position. I'm not a mutation. I'm not. I'm not. I'm not. I'm not. You can't say that I am because I won't listen.
Yeah, girl, get the fuck out of there.
I mean, she's got some harsh truths.
Yeah,
that she's got to contend with. She is.
I would like to know his school of thought when it comes to psychiatric care.
It's like the bullying school.
It's the bullying school where he convinces you you're a mutant.
I think it's awesome. I
think she's cured.
I didn't say you were. There was the barest hint.
Dr. X.
That's the Dr. X. That's right.
Oh my God.
He's like, you are a mutant. Welcome to my school.
There was the barest hint of emphasis on the first word. So I didn't say that you were. Lucilla was almost certain she heard a whisper and a whisper of laughter, but he met her gaze blandly, his expression completely serious. Don't you dare laugh, she said. There's nothing funny about being able to read other people's minds. Dr. Andrews said helpfully, you'd much rather have me offer some other explanation for the occurrences that doesn't bother you so.
Oh, I'm glad that Dr. Andrews has made a full recovery from his old age.
That's right. Well, now that we're acknowledging that mutants exist. I guess so. Yeah, that's it. A brain tumor or schizophrenia or anything at all that could possibly be cured so I could marry Paul and have children just like everybody else. Like you. She looked past him to the picture on his desk.
Are you proposing, Lucilla?
Come, join me in the astral plane. We shall dance.
It's easy for you to talk. He ignored the last statement. Why can't you get married anyway? You've already said why, because Paul would hate me. Everybody would hate me if they knew I was different. How would they know? It doesn't show.
Yeah, girl, hide it. Now, yeah, live a lie like the rest of us.
Yeah, we all are living lies. Come on. How would they know it doesn't show? If you had three legs or a bushy tail or outsized teeth.
An adorable bushy tail. Or if you chewed on your food and stored it in your tiny little cheeks.
Everyone would think it was so cute. Lucilla smiled involuntarily and then was furious at herself for doing so.
Why?
And at Dr. Andrews for provoking her into it.
Why?
She doesn't like being manipulated, I think.
I don't think she is.
This whole thing is just so utterly asinine anyhow. Here we are, talking as if I might really be a mutant. You know perfectly well that I'm not.
Okay, yeah, go marry. Oh.
Do I?
Oh.
You made the die. Do I? You made the diagnosis. You made the diagnosis, Lucilla. You've given me some mighty potent reasons for believing it. Can you give me equally good reasons for doubting that you're a telepath? The demand left Lucilla speechless for a moment. I had to guess the first word of the sentence again. Yeah. I thought it was maybe she. Anyway, she groped blindly for an answer, then almost laughed aloud as she found it. But of course, I almost missed it, even after you practically drew me a diagram. I could read minds just as soon as anybody found out. He'd be afraid of me or hate me, like the book said, and like you said, too. If you believed it, you'd do something like have me locked up in a hospital, maybe, instead of what, Lucilla? Instead of being patient and nice and helping me see how silly I've been.
Oh, he's of that nice school of thought. Sorry.
She reached out impulsively to touch his hand and then withdrew her own, feeling
somewhat foolish.
Is she remembering
all other parts of her life, and right now she's in an institution?
I think she's probably in an institution. Yeah, that's my guess. Withdrew her own hand, feeling somewhat foolish when he made no move to respond.
So quiet.
Oh no, and so gray.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Her relief was too great, however, to be contained in the silence. Way back the first time I came in, almost. What?
Don't prove it.
First time I came in, almost.
Don't prove it.
You said that before we finished therapy, you'd know me better than I knew myself. I didn't believe you. Maybe I didn't want to. But I begin to think you were right. Lots of times lately, you've answered a question before I even asked it. Sometimes you haven't even bothered to answer. You've just sat there in your big brown chair, and I've lain here on the couch, and we've gone through something together without using words at all.
Oh, he also has gifts.
He's
just been talking to her in his mind, maybe.
Maybe he's crazy.
What?
And she doesn't exist.
We're crazy.
Oh.
Three times a crazy. Oh. Sorry.
Candy.
She had started
candy,
out
crazy
almost.
Lady? Sorry.
Crazy candy lady.
Crazy candy lady.
She had started out almost gaily, the words spilling over each other in their rush to be said. But bit by bit, she slowed down, then faltered to a stop. After she had stopped talking altogether, she could still hear the last few phrases repeated over and over, like an echo that refused to die. Answered before I asked, without using words at all, without using words. She could almost taste the terror that clogged her throat and dried her lips. You do believe it. And you could have... this is her, sorry.
Yeah, I was like, huh?
You do believe it. And you could have me locked up, only... Fragments of thoughts, splinters of words,
oh
and
God.
Droplets of silence spun in a kaleidoscopic jumble, shifted infinitesimally, and fell into an incredible new pattern. Understanding displaced terror, and was, in turn, displaced by indignation. Huh? She stared accusingly at her interrogator. But you look just like anybody. You expected perhaps three legs or a long bushy tail or teeth?
Professor X.
Like that textbook tiger?
He's Professor X.
Oh my God. He's
and
Professor
you're a, X. And you're a psychiatrist?
Her ideas were stolen from her.
What else? Would you have talked to me like... Would you have talked to me like this across a grocery counter, Lucilla? Or listened to me if I'd been driving a bus or filling a prescription?
Wait, what?
Would I have found the others in... Would I have found the others in a bowling alley?
Oh my God, Professor X.
Or a business
Professor
office?
X.
Holy shit.
There are others? She let out her breath in a long sigh, involuntarily, glancing around again at the framed picture.
Is he in a wheelchair?
I only love Paul, and he isn't. He can't. This is blowing up. I can't even wrap my head around. Okay. Nor can Carol. His eyes were steady on hers.
Huh?
Yet she felt as if he were looking through her eyes beyond her.
Okay.
For no reason at all, she strained her ears for the sound of footsteps or the summons of a voice. Where do you suppose the second little blob of protoplasm with legs came from? Dr. Andrews asked. Or the third? If that ape who found out he could stand erect and walk lonesomely off into the sunset like a second-rate actor on a late, late show...
He might start a school.
Where do you suppose you'd be today? He broke off abruptly and watched with... Lucilla as the office door edged open. The small girl who inched her way in around what? The small girl who inched her way around it wore blue jeans and a ponytail rather than an ordinary frock and curls, but her pixie smile matched that of a girl in the photograph Lucilla had glanced at again and again.
Oh right.
You.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Oh yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah, I girl. That. Yeah, right. No, I've seen this.
The daughter who I have not met.
You wanted me, Daddy? She asked.
Ew.
But look no, toward.
Ew. No, hard no, pass. Hard pass.
Story ends here.
All right, here we go. You wanted me, Daddy? She asked.
That's better. That's better. Much better.
Thank okay, you. Good. Better.
But she looked towards Lucilla. I thought you'd like to meet someone with the same nickname as yours, Dr. Andrews said, rising slowly to greet her. Oh. Lucky, meet Lucky. Hello. The child.
I am also lucky. We are both lucky together.
And her smile widened. Hello?
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 Hi. Hello? Who's this?
But I don't
have. Lucky, me no.
Speaking.
And this is parenthetical, so I don't know how to read this, but it's in parentheses.
Okay.
But I don't have to say it, do I?
Oh,
I
can it's her mind.
Oh, they're talking.
But I don't have to say it, do I? I can talk to you just the way I talk to Daddy and Uncle Whitey. Whitney, sorry.
Uncle Whitey.
I was thinking about my family tree. And Big Bill.
Who's Big Bill?
Big Bill is another person that she can talk to using her mind.
I would love to meet Big Bill, though.
You're going to meet Big Bill.
Hi, Bill.
Hi, Big Bill.
Hello yourself, said Lucilla. This time, the corners of her mouth began to tick upwards. She made no attempt to stop
her face.
You can, of course, this is also in parentheses. You can, of course, darling. Of course you can, darling. And I can answer you the same way. And you'll hear me. Dr. Andrews reached for an open pack of cigarettes on his desk. This is strictly a private Is this strictly a private conversation, girls? Or can I get in on it, too?
Ew, wait. Hold on. Is this porn?
Hello.
Hold on. Well, help. Help.
It's help. Impolite to interrupt, Daddy.
Oh, my God.
He's not exactly interrupting. It was his conversation to begin with. Dr. Andrews' receptionist paused briefly beside the still-open office door. None of them heard either a gentle rap or a soft click of the latch slipping into place when she pushed the door shut.
And saw three people staring at each other, saying nothing.
Nor did she hear them.
Oops.
And that's how the story ends.
Wow. Well, I hope that was cool. That was a cool story.
That was a neat story.
That was really cool.
What year was this?
61 or 2.
So pre X-Men.
Would seem like.
Yeah, very much. Wow. Pre X-Men, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Stan Lee, we know, you know, rest in peace, of course.
R.I.P., but you're a jerk.
Yeah, you stole this idea.
We have some questions.
Between Babs Constant and Jack Kirby, you have some splaining to do.
And Steve Ditko. There's a lot of explaining you
others.
Have to do.
Wow, that was a cool story.
Read.
I like that.
That was
awesome.
We were
all well written too.
On the edge of our seats.
Yeah, could not wait to find out what was happening. It was very clear very early on too that like it was a good story.
Yeah, it was.
Yes.
It was cool.
Because it's not so precious with like where we are or what's happened. Like,
hey, I don't need to be personally
attacked.
Okay,
here's the thing. Another thing about Lindsay's stories.
I don't need
Lindsay's.
I couldn't
novel.
Use them introducing themselves to each other.
Another thing about Lindsay's novel is that we know where every single part of every character's body is at all times.
And where they are in the room.
Where they are in the
and
room.
And in relation to each other.
Where they are.
And where their fingers are in relation to each other.
Probably.
Probably.
I assume fingers.
Probably everybody who listens to this podcast listens to Teen Creeps.
Yes.
But on our Teen Creeps Patreon, we are splitting up the novella I wrote in junior high and reading it for our minisodes, if you want to get in on that.
Performing it for you in installments. Patreon.com/TeenCreeps.
It's horrifying. It's so horrifying.
Thank you so much for coming on and doing the show, Patrick.
Oh, thank you for having me. What a weird story.
What a strange,
so fun.
Cool story. Do you have anything that you would like to plug?
Oh, sure. Listen. Both
listen.
The Nintendo.
With your mind and your ears.
That's right. Turn off your
mind
ears.
Ears.
Your mind ears. And open your
and
mind
open
eyes.
Your physical ears.
The Nintendo Cartridge Society podcast. Look, I talk about Nintendo with Mark Mitchell.
Who's an absolute delight. Absolutely. Lovely human being.
He's much so better good. Than you. Totally better than me.
Definitely.
A little bit taller, too, I think.
Oh, so in all ways.
A little bit of a baller.
Yeah, he's got a rabbit and a hat.
Oh. Wait, really?
No.
Oh.
And a 64 Impala, right? These are all the lyrics of the song.
Is rabbit a thing that he has?
That Mark has, or are we talking about?
I only remember the.
I wish I was a little bit taller.
I wish I was a baller.
I wish I had a girl who looked good. I would call her.
What is this rabbit?
A rabbit and a hat,
what
you, right?
What?
And
a rabbit? 60...
And an impala.
The yeah. animal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Because he's going to do a magic trick.
Yeah. Oh.
A rabbit and a hat. I assume that the rabbit's not just like wearing a hat and it's cute.
Yeah, it's like metaphorical.
Oh.
Well, listen, we talk about Nintendo on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Yeah.
Tuesdays news. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, we talk about Nintendo. And Thursday's a special topic in Nintendo.
Yes.
So, like, recently we talked about games that are like Super Smash Brothers, but aren't Super Smash Brothers.
Oh, that's a cool topic.
Because there are a lot of games like that.
Really? Well, we'll have to listen to find out.
You will, in fact, have to listen to find out.
Yeah, don't give it away.
And then also the Same Day Shipping podcast that I do with Kelly and Ryan Mogi and Colin J. Morris. Where we talk about fictional relationships as though they are real and as though we are horny about them.
We ship everything with everything.
Yeah. I mean, if
ship,
it
ship,
moves.
Ship, yeah. ship.
You can ship it.
Ship.
Sometimes
ship.
Even if it doesn't move.
Have we done immobile ships?
Does it exist?
I don't know.
I don't think we should do it.
Do the immobile ship.
What is that?
Ship.
Three times a ship.
Thank you so much, Patrick, for coming on.
You know, Don Quixote. Okay, anyway.
Oh the Man of La Mancha.
The?
Yeah, the Man of La Mancha.
Follow our show. On all the social media. Oh, hey, where can they find you on the internet?
Oh, yeah, at Patrick _ Ehlers. Ehlers is Ehlers. Strong German name.
For a strong German man. Mm. Alec, did this story come to us through a listener suggestion? Probably. Fucking Brett's not here. Brett.
So there's no way to know.
Brett Lee. So probably. It was a good one, so we'll have to assume Brett didn't find it.
So thank you, listener.
Yeah. Thank you. And
that's
also,
my point.
If you are sitting there thinking, how can I get these people to read a public domain story that I want them to read, suggest it on our form, which is in a pinned tweet on our Twitter, public domain pod. And, you know, if you do something too long, we won't read it. So
you doing Google Forms?
Yep. Sweet-ass Google Form.
It's a good form.
Yeah.
GG Form.
You got some good forms.
You can, you want to help our show? Leave us a happy review on Apple Podcasts. That's the thing that helps our show the most, really. And write a review, too. Mm-hmm. I know that seems very daunting, but I believe in you. And
I believe in your writing skills. And
honestly, you could literally just be like,
this show is
booty
great.
Likes what it likes and give it 5 stars and I would be happy. If someone
the booty
please
likes
everybody
what it likes, yes.
just start
if you leave
5 stars
yeah, the booty likes what it likes.
This show is great as the heading and then the booty likes what it likes.
If you do that, I will shout you out on this show.
Yep.
The booty likes what it likes.
And then you don't even have to write a review. That's
yeah,
just
that's
the review.
Review.
We've done it for you.
So you're welcome.
There's mm-hmm. truth to that too.
The booty likes what it likes.
The booty likes what it likes.
It does.
Always. Always and forever.
Three times a booty.
Nice.
All right. Thank you for listening. Please listen again next week and keep it cultured.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.